I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Book of Matthew, chapter 12. We want to read three verses. Jesus is doing the speaking in these three verses. Verse 6, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Verse 41 and verse 42, we just want to read the last phrase of those two verses. "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Verse 42, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." What is recorded in Matthew chapter 12 is basically a manifestation of the desperate wickedness of the human heart and the amazing blindness of unbelief. The chapter opens with Jesus and his disciples in a cornfield on the Sabbath day, plucking and eating corn. We see that in verse 1. When the Pharisees saw this, they became greatly disturbed. The Pharisees were often disturbed. But in verse 2, "When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." In verses 3 through 8, Jesus spoke to these Pharisees concerning what was troubling them, what was disturbing them. And in addressing them, he said, "In this place is one greater than the temple." Following this, Jesus departed. Again, they were in a cornfield. And he went into their synagogue, verse 9. "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And there in that synagogue, he healed a man with a withered hand." We read that in verses 10 through verse 13. And again, the Pharisees were greatly disturbed. We see in verse 14, "Then the Pharisees went out." That is, they went out of that synagogue. "And they held a council against him, how they might destroy him." Jesus again departed. Verse 15, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence." So he's now left the synagogue. And we see that great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And in this healing, in verse 22, we read of Jesus healing a specific man, a demon-possessed man. And as a result of that, in verse 23, we read that all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" The Pharisees, again, were disturbed. Verse 24, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." Verses 25 through 37, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, in verse 25 it says Jesus knew their thoughts. So what they said there in verse 24, they didn't really say it, they were thinking it. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, very strongly rebukes and condemns their blasphemy. We see this in verses 25 through 37. In verse 38, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees," what they did here is they began to manifest their unbelief. And they did so by asking for a sign. They were saying, "You say that you are the Son of God. Prove it." They were willfully and deliberately shut their eyes and closed their minds to everything they've just witnessed and to all the many wonderful works which Jesus had already done. And they're simply now demanding more proof. In verses 39 through verse 45, Jesus sharply rebukes their blatant unbelief. In doing so, he says, "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." So there are three statements that we see in our text verses that we want to consider. In these statements, Jesus is stating something about himself. In this place is one greater than the temple. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I want to take the thought of the message from these three statements. We want to observe what these three statements say, and then we want to make personal application to ourselves. The subject of the message is on either side of than, no matter when or where. On either side of than, no matter when or where. First of all, let's see what is said in these three statements. And do look at them. Verse 6, verse 41 and 42, the three statements. Look at them very carefully. In each of these statements, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees by way of rebuke and judgment of their wicked unbelief. Through these statements, Jesus declared who he is. And though they were shocking statements to the ears of the Pharisees, for those who believe what Jesus said in these statements, there is tremendous encouragement and strength and assurance and confidence. For those who believe, these are statements of reminder. He is greater than the temple. He is greater than Jonas. He is greater than Solomon. They remind us. They are statements that ought to invigorate us, statements that ought to have a very persuading and influential force in our lives. There are 5 points that we want to notice in these statements. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but we want to notice what these statements are saying. And there's 5 points that they all have in common. First of all, in each of these statements, there is the word greater. In each statement, there is that word greater. He uses that word in describing himself. It is a word of comparison, meaning more. More. It means that which excels, that which goes beyond, that which is bigger, that which is more remarkable, that which is more magnificent and splendid in magnitude, that which is superior. That's what the word greater means. That's what it implies. In each of these statements, Jesus draws attention to his greatness. He draws attention to his distinction. He draws attention to his significance and his prominence. In each of these statements, Jesus is saying, I am more. I am more. Whatever you put on the other side of than, Jesus says, I am greater. I am more. Secondly, in each of these statements, there is that word than. Than. The word greater, being a word of comparison, must have an object of comparison. And the word than introduces the object. In one case, it's the temple. In one case, it's Jonas. In one case, it is Solomon. Jesus is greater than the temple. Jesus is greater than Jonas. And Jesus is greater than Solomon. That is, Jesus is more than the temple, Jonas, and Solomon. Jesus in every way excels and goes beyond the temple and Jonas and Solomon. Jesus is more immense. Jesus is more remarkable. He is more magnificent than these things. Jesus is more prominent than these things. Jesus is superior to these things. Again, in each of these statements, Jesus is saying, I am more. I am more. Thirdly, in each of these statements, there is the word is. Very important word. Verse 6 says, is one greater? In this place, is one greater than the temple? In verse 41, a greater than Jonas is here. In verse 42, a greater than Solomon is here. So we have the word greater, we have the word than, we have the word is. The word is designates time. It is present singular of to be. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is always true. There's never a time it's not true. Jesus is. Fourthly, in each of these statements, there is a word of location. Verse 6, in this place. That speaks of a location. In this place is one greater than the temple. And I don't care what place you're in this place is one greater than the temple, whatever place that is. Verse 41 and 42, we have the word here, H-E-R-E. A greater than Jonas is here. That's a place. A greater than Solomon is here. So what is this saying? It is saying wherever Jesus is, at whatever time, he is more. He is more than. More than what? Anything that you put on the other side of than, he is more. Whatever you want to put on the other side of than, he is more. Fifthly, in each statement, Jesus draws attention to himself. In verse 6, he said, I say unto you. In those words, he was doing two things. He was demanding their attention, but he was doing more than that. He was also drawing their attention to himself. That is obvious from the singular pronoun I. I say unto you. In verse 41 and 42, he said, behold. That is a verb, summoning to action. It means, look here. See this. Observe. He's doing more than calling for their attention to hear. He is calling their attention to himself. Behold. And then there's the definite article. A greater than Jonas is here. a greater than Solomon is here. He is calling their attention to something definite. What he's doing is calling their attention to himself. The word behold, of course, is used throughout the Word of God. When there is something extraordinary, something marvelous, something momentous is about to be presented to our attention, we see that word behold. And Jesus uses it here in verse 41, in verse 42. So Jesus was drawing their attention to himself, to his person. It is a call to observe and to give serious thought and consideration of who and what he was. In each of these statements, there is one greater, that is Jesus. There is one who is more. On this side of man than on this side of them. And this is true no matter what time it is, and it is true no matter where the place is. It is true no matter where your place is. It is true no matter where your here is. On this side of then is one greater than whatever you put on this side of then. So let's make application of these statements to our lives. These were shocking and unbelievable statements to the Pharisees. Jesus declared that he was greater than the temple. To the Pharisees, the temple was the most glorious representation of God on earth. And Jesus said, I'm greater than the temple. To the Pharisees, they honored the temple as the most holy place on earth. And Jesus said, I'm greater than the temple. So this is a very shocking statement to the Pharisees. The temple was the dwelling place of God. The Pharisees viewed it as the dwelling place of God. And Jesus says, I'm greater than the temple. It was the most valuable piece of real estate on the earth. At that time, there was nothing more valuable on the face of the earth than that temple. And Jesus said, in this place is one greater than the temple. This was shocking to the Pharisees. This was something that they could not believe. Jesus also declared that he's greater than Jonas. To the Pharisees, Jonah was a great preacher. And to the Pharisees, Jesus was a babbler and a blasphemer. Yet Jesus says, I'm greater than Jonah. This was a shocking statement, an unbelievable statement to the Pharisees. Jesus declared there in verse 42 that he was greater than Solomon. Now, the Pharisees, with all their faults, they knew Bible history. And they knew that Solomon was the greatest builder Israel had ever known. They knew that Solomon had more wealth, had more power, had more affluence, had more prestige than any other ruler that Israel ever had. And now, imagine what must have gone through their minds when he declared, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I imagine they thought, why, Solomon was a king's son, the son of David. You're the son of a peasant, Joseph. Solomon was born in a palace. We heard that you were born in a stable. How can you possibly say that you are greater than Solomon? Solomon wore a king's robe. Look at you. You have a very simple, seamless garment. Solomon, he had armies. You have no armies. At best, you have a few stragglers following you around. I mean, this is what would go through the mind of the Pharisees, I imagine. Solomon lived in a palace. Where do you live? You don't have any place to lay your head. Solomon had 1,400 chariots, 1,200 horsemen, 40,000 stall of horses. And when Solomon rode forth, he did so in comfort. And look at you. You walk everywhere you go. This was a shocking and unbelievable statement to these Pharisees. Why, Solomon, he ate with the Queen of Sheba. And you eat with publicans and sinners. So when Jesus said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here, the Pharisees were shocked. They could not possibly believe that this one standing before them was greater than Solomon. Now I would say that it is highly probable that no one here has any problem or any difficulty believing that Jesus is greater than the temple. I doubt if there's anyone here that has any problem or difficulty believing that Jesus is greater than Jonah. And I doubt if there's anyone here who has any problem or difficulty believing that Jesus is greater than Solomon. In believing those things where the Pharisees didn't, believing that Jesus is greater than the temple, believing that he is greater than Jonah, believing that he is greater than Solomon, we might get to thinking, well, we have more sense than the Pharisees. But do you believe he is always, no matter what the place, that he is always greater or more than whatever is on the other side of them? Do we believe that? That's the question. It's not the question whether or not we believe he's greater than the temple. Everyone here would say, well, yeah, I believe that. Do you believe he's greater than Jonah? Yeah, I believe that. Do you believe he's greater than Solomon? Yeah, I believe that. Do you believe that he's greater than any problem you'll ever have to face? Well, I have to think about that. Well, see, that's what matters. The temple doesn't matter to you and I. Jonah and Solomon have no direct relevance to our lives. But there are a lot of other things that we can put on the other side of than that are very relevant to our lives. First of all, I want to say that if you're unsaved, you're not only a sinner before a holy and righteous God, but your sins are innumerable, absolutely beyond human calculation. But behold, Jesus is greater than all your sin. Behold all that Jesus is greater than the filth, the vileness, the corruption, the wickedness, the wretchedness, the bondage, the darkness, the ignorance, the blindness, the depths, the habits, and the hopelessness of all your sin. Jesus is greater. Do you believe that? That's what matters. That's what matters today. All that Jesus is greater than the estrangement that sin causes, and greater than all the unacceptableness of the sinner. All that Jesus is greater than the guilt of sin. If you are here without Christ, you are guilty before God. But behold, there is one greater than your guilt. There is one greater than the guilt. There is one greater than the condemnation that the sinner deserves before God. I remind every unsaved sinner here today that the nearness of eternity is at hand. No matter how much time you have left on this earth, the nearness of eternity is at hand. And therefore, there is nothing more dire than the sinner in their sins. There is nothing, there is no greater need than the sinner in their sins. But because of who and what Jesus is, and because He is greater, there is righteousness for the unrighteous in Jesus Christ. There is cleansing for the defiled. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ for the guilty. There is reconciliation in Jesus Christ for the enemies of God. There is pardon in Jesus Christ for the condemned. And there is acceptance in Jesus Christ for the unacceptable. What I'm saying is, unsaved sinner, there is hope. But that hope is only in the one who is greater than anything you can put on the other side of that, Jesus Christ. Take notice, if you're here and unsaved today, take notice of that word "than." And notice that on this side of "than" is one who is more than whatever you put on this side of "than" concerning your wretched condition. There is hope. There is hope for the unsaved sinner. The unsaved sinner must believe not that Jesus is greater than the temple, not that He's greater than Jonas or Solomon, but that He is greater than your sin and your guilt and your condemnation. Again, notice from these statements, a greater than is. And a greater than is here. I want to speak to the saved. Wherever your place is. I know physically right now your place is here. But I'm talking wherever your place is, mentally, spiritually. Or wherever your here is, behold, Jesus is greater. Wherever here is, and whatever and wherever your here is, notice Christ is. Nothing changes that. No matter what you put on the other side of then, nothing changes. Christ is. No matter where your place is, no matter where your here is, nothing changes it. He is greater than our place. He is greater than our here. Our place and our here is in a constant flux of change and can change without warning. But whatever, wherever your place or here is, and whatever your place or here may involve, Christ is, and Christ is greater than. This is always and everywhere so. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's the question. Again, Matthew 12 gives us a manifestation of the blindness of unbelief of the Pharisees. Do we believe that no matter where here is, Jesus is, and He's greater? Do we believe that? Do we live that? Again, the word greater is a word of comparison. Therefore, it must have an object of comparison. So in each statement, following the word greater is that word than. The picture is this. On one side of than, you have one who is greater. Greater than whatever is on the other side of them. On one side of them, there may be problems. There may be trials. There may be difficulties. There may be great needs. But on the other side of them is always one who is greater than whatever the problem, whatever the trial, whatever the difficulty, whatever the need. On one side of van, we may have overwhelming cares. We may have overwhelming burdens. But on the other side of van is one who always is, and He is always able to carry those cares and those burdens. Do we believe that? Do we live that? On one side of them, there may be unbelievable pressures. There may be tremendous distress. But on the other side of them is one who always is the Almighty. Always is eternal, immortal, immutable, infinite, omniscient, all-sufficient. No matter what's on the other side of them, there is always this one who is greater. On one side of them, there may be temptation. There may be the very forces of hell. But on the other side of them is our Savior, our Redeemer, our Shepherd, our Friend. What a difference. On one side of them, there may be darkness. But on the other side of that is a light greater than any darkness you'll ever experience. His name is Jesus. On one side of that, there may be hurt. There may be heartache. But on the other side of that, there is Jesus Christ. And in Him there is healing greater than any hurt you might have. Greater than any heartache you might have. Do you believe that? Do you live that? Really, we need to ask ourselves, what side of van do we live on? On one side of van, there's weakness. But on the other side, in Jesus Christ, there is strength greater than any weakness we might have. On the one side of van, there may be tremendous weariness. But on the other side, in Jesus Christ, there is a rest greater than any weariness you'll ever experience. On one side of van, there may be anguish. But on the other side, in Jesus, there is relief greater than any anguish you might have. On one side of van, there may be sorrow. But on the other side of van, in Jesus, is one greater than the sorrow. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus when He says, I am greater than your sorrow? Do you believe that? Do you believe it when He says, I am greater than your problem. I am greater than your trial. I am greater than your difficulty. I am greater than your hurt. Do you believe that? The Pharisees could not believe that He was greater than the temple, or greater than Jonah, or greater than Solomon. And the question today is not, do you believe those things? But the question is, do you believe that Jesus is greater than whatever's on the other side of van in our lives? On the one side of van, there may be miserable personal failure. But on the other side, there's this one who always is, and He is an advocate greater than our failure. Whatever our failure might be. On the one side of van, there may be discouragement. But on the other side, in Jesus, is encouragement greater than any discouragement you might have. You say, I'm so discouraged. I just can't get out of this discouragement. You're looking on the wrong side of van. You need to look on the other side. Because on the other side is encouragement greater than your discouragement. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? What side of van do we live on? On one side of van, there may be upheaval. There may be chaos. But on the other side, in Jesus Christ, there is peace greater than any upheaval, greater than any chaos. On the one side, there may be defeat. But on the other side, in Jesus Christ, is victory greater than any defeat you may have suffered. On this side of van, there may be wind. But on the other side, there's always a hiding place greater than any wind you might experience. On one side of van, there may be great dryness. But on the other side of van, in the person of Jesus Christ, there are rivers of water greater than any dryness you'll ever experience. Do we believe that? On the one side of van, there can be anything. You put whatever you will. On this side of van, put whatever you will over there. Recognize whatever it is on this side of van,
Recognize it. Look at it. But get your eyes off of it after a little while and focus upon who's on this side of them. That's where our focus needs to be. Because no matter what's on this side of them, Jesus Christ is greater. He's more. He's more. So put whatever you will on this side of them, but fasten your eyes on the one who's greater than. But whatever you can imagine on one side of them, but always remember, never forget, on the other side is one greater. And He's God's provision. Whatever's on this side of them, Jesus Christ is God's provision. Jesus Christ is God's remedy. Jesus Christ is God's cure. Jesus Christ is the solution. Whatever our problems are, whatever our needs are, oh, they may be overwhelming to you and I. But is there anything that can overwhelm the one who is greater than all? Of course not. But do we believe? Do we believe? Whatever is on this side of them, there is always Jesus who is, and who is always greater. The question is this: what side of them do you and I live on? There are some, you would have to admit, you've not only pitched your tent on this side of them, you've built a house there. You've been living there a long time. You've been living there so long that you can't even see what's on the other side of them. There's one greater. Where do you live today? Are we going to live under the influence? Are we going to live under the influence, the power and the control and the impact of what's on this side of that? Or are we going to live under the power, the influence, the impact of the one who's greater than? What side do we live on? Are we most affected by what's on this side of them? And the one that's on this side of them, who's above all, who's over all, who's beyond all. He's over all your problems. He's above all your problems. He's beyond all your problems. What is it that has effect upon you? Your problems, your difficulties, or the one who's greater than? We need to ask ourselves, what side of them do we live on? What side of them do we focus upon? And oh, how thankful, how full of praise we ought to be. How confident we ought to be. There are a lot of things in life that I hope you never experience. There are a lot of things in life I hope I never experience. But if we do experience some of those things, I hope we do so realizing that Jesus is greater than. He's greater. So how thankful and full of praise we ought to be. Because no matter how bad, no matter how dreadful it may be on this side of Van, there's one greater on this side. Oh, may we realize that today. May we believe that today. And lost sinner, it is this one Jesus that you must believe. You must believe. You may, and if the Lord is going to save your soul, you will feel the weight of your sin. You will sense and feel the defilement and the filth, the vileness and the wickedness of your sin. Those things are necessary in order to be saved. But I'll tell you something else you'll come to know, is you'll see Jesus is greater than all those things. He's greater than the weight of sin, so great that He can lift it. He's greater than the filth of sin, so great that He can cleanse it and take it away. So if you're here lost today, it's this Jesus that you need. Oh, you may think that you need a lot of other things, and you may, but your greatest need today is this one who's greater than all. And that's true of every unsaved sinner. That's true of every saved sinner here today. Our greatest need is this one who is greater than all. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we can go from here today out into a world that is full of problems, and we can go out there knowing He's greater than. He's greater than all of these other things. Don't get caught up on all the stuff, on all the problems, but look at the one who's greater than all, who's more. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.